Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just thank you for giving me the grace to communicate and them the grace to listen. And we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your presence. We thank you for heavenly keys. We thank you, Lord, for things that we can use and are applicable. We thank you for a revelation of heavenly places today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week, we did say we were communicating a message that was pretty, like, had a lot of heavenly intel. And the book of Revelation is a really, really, it's such an amazing read that if you read it and keep the words, it says you'll be blessed. The book of Daniel said, seal up these words of this book until the right at the end. Whereas with Revelation, it says, do not seal up the words. Don't seal up the words. And if you study it, and understand it, you'll be blessed. Now, there's a whole bunch of teaching and stuff floating around the air. It's really fascinating. My personal conviction is not a chronological, simply because you've got what's happened with Babylon in chapters 11, 17 and 18, falling, judgment and falling. And then you have chapter 22, the New Jerusalem, you've got, you know, dirty, rotten scoundrels sitting outside their gates. So I think that this is why we do need, that it's a highly supernatural book, and it can't be just teaching based on a natural paradigm. The book of Revelation is got at least 500 Old Testament references or allusions. And so you want to, the Word of God is such a crazy, supernatural, hyperlinked revelation, is that you can actually data mine out of that Old Covenant prophets, the Old Testament prophets. They're talking about the new heaven and the new earth and a lot of different things. And so what I wanted to possibly, as I said to you last week, to submit to you for your own discernment and study is Revelation 15. It says, these are they who overcame. They've had victory over the beast, over his image, over his name and the number of his name. And they were on the sea of glass, the sea of crystal mingled with fire. And then it said, and they had played harps and they sang the song of Moses. There are so many parallels. And then Kate Gardner brought up to me last week, if you're talking about the reference of Genesis, especially if the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, a deep watery abyss, and then there was the first day after that, is that all water is older than time. Who found that really interesting? Yeah. You won't waste it as much now. And so, but it's very, very interesting because it says the sons of God actually have to unlock creation, And so I find it very interesting. I want to talk about parallel dimensions in the Spirit this morning and something on a very, very concrete level. It has to be accessible. It can't be for just the scholar, just the nerd, just the someone living a monastic life. From what I know, none of us live a monastic life. And so you have this situation where I believe there's a promise for people to live in that place of praise, to actually access transcendent reality in Christ. And that's, again, I know I'm using a lot of hyperbolic superlatives. I'm not trying to, but that's the best way to describe it. And we'll remind me, we'll pray for the team at the end. That'd be good. I just saw some things down there on my piece of paper. Remember, you know, Moses came down with two tablets. I only have one. And so, all right. I want to reference a dream I had last night that was in the Spirit. And I want to completely, I want to blow something out the water while I drink some water. And I think a false inner narrative too many people in the Lord carry is this: if I stick with the herd, I will be safe. I do not believe herd mentality is the way to go. I believe that what happens is everyone has to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, and then that makes up a remnant. If you're doing something because other people are doing it, I think it's a false economy. I think that we have to be able to, we're in us in a, I think Daryl brought something to the table a couple of years ago about the most important thing we're going to need in this coming season or whatever is discernment. And you've got discerning of spirits, but just discernment in general, where something is presented. And remember, we're looking at Trojan horses everywhere. Trojan horses. And at the moment, we had a very, very interesting state election result, New South Wales. And so I would tend to, for me, I tend to go, well, that is a reflection of the current state of affairs, especially with a lot of the Liberal Party. And then that is a reflection on a lot of the church. I know a lot of you people remember a great man of God. His name was Bill Hilbig. Who remembers Bill Hilbig? Very humble man. It's probably the biggest funeral attendance I've ever seen. Impacted a lot of lives. And his statement was this: a nation will get the government the church deserves. A nation will get the government the church deserves. And I really, really do believe going forward is that an issue that happened with the children of Israel. They chose to take, in the promised land, they took the valleys, they took the plains, but they really were reticent to take the mountains. And in the Great Commission of all around the world is God's people. They want revival, they want outpouring, but they do not want to take the mountains. And right now the world is being run by a minority from the mountaintops. And this is why we need to understand what it is to first ascend the mountain of the Lord, and then all of the mountains, all of the people of the earth will flow into the Lord's mountain. But from that mountain, we are to have that mountain mentality. Hinds feet for high places, narrow pathways. He causes me to be stable and not slip. But when I go through that narrow way, he opens up broad places. The way is narrow, it's restrictive. It involves discipline, it involves things like consistency. So I don't believe that the herd mentality is the way to go. For those who've been living under a rock, let me explain to you. At the moment, you've got Paris in riots. You've got even, it's sort of like, you know, I do have plans to go there later this year, take my family. You know, you always want to take your family to safe places. But no, I just thought, why don't we go to the French Revolution? Why don't we do that? And it's sort of like, they were even burning down the town hall in Bordeaux. No, leave Bordeaux alone, please. Don't burn that one down. Splitters. Anyway, so basically all sorts of interesting things. Sort of like, don't touch that. I thought it says in the Bible, don't touch the oil of the wine. Anyway, so basically then you've got what's happening with the banks, shaking like a loose tooth. And there's all sorts of interesting situations from, like I said, Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, SVB and all that sort of stuff, baked beans and spaghettis. And so then you, sorry, I just can't help myself. I can't help myself, I'm hopeless. Now, these things are okay to be aware of. However, the main thing is we've got to keep the main thing. Rather than speculate something that's a long way away, go, ooh, I wonder what it means, is that we have to lay a hold of with both hands what is within our reach and what is our responsibility. I'm saying this with all due respect. Whenever my wife gets really upset, she's worried now. Be very worried. No. Whenever my wife gets upset or something's really rocked her apple cart, the first thing she does is she starts cleaning and putting everything in order. Who does that? There you go, you. Husbands, take note. Upset your wives more. No, so. Wow, your house is clean. Yes, but it's cold as ice. Anyway, so. Such order. Yes, but soulless. Anyway, so sort of like clothes everywhere, floor drape, drawers open. You guys in love. Anyway, so. Anyway. What happens is that there's something about that is that we've got to be, it's good to be aware, but we need to be obsessed with what we can do. Now, when we choose to do what we're meant to do, I'm not saying we take control of the situation, but what happens is that you can actually bring it into a place where you and the Lord can co-govern that space. I'm very big on metron and jurisdiction and not the sin of presumption, okay? Is that take the bear, take the lion, and then there's Goliath. And you do the heavy lifting in private. You do the heavy lifting in secret. The whole economy of God, Jesus, go and lock yourself in your cupboard, make sure you have the key, and then when you come out, the Lord will, he will reward you. Now, what I wanna do is I wanna map very briefly and then use it as a point of departure. I wanna map a very, very well-known passage of scripture The reason I am so enthused about this, the first time I taught on this at length was 2019, where everything was quite tickety-boo. And we probably were at a place of globally unprecedented prosperity. But because I had the warning at the beginning of 2019, I preached on this. But what's happened since then? A lot of things have happened in the world, from COVID all the way through to what's currently developing. But I believe our trajectory of growth has been far superior to the trajectory of global deterioration. I really believe that we've laid a hold of something. And this is friends, please. And I'm especially talking to the people on the podcast. Don't do nothing and think you're going to hold out at the last second. Build your house on the rock, because when the storms come, you might not have the muscle. Is it there's something to be said about being a disciplined follower of Christ and building up. I'm just saying this now. My wife runs Illuminate and she's heads it up. But I'm seriously thinking about with Illuminate, we actually mandate for a season that interns fast. And sort of like, all of a sudden, sort of like, watch those EOIs dry up. Because what happens, it's an inner world we have to develop. And if we're soulish or even carnal, we actually can't come into that place of genuine manifesting the kingdom. And it's the 101s. It's not the tricky mystical stuff. It's the 101s. So what I'm doing is we're going to go down that 101 bandwidth, but it will dovetail into some interesting things. But as long as we get the basics. And so I'm going to read this for you. We're all going to read it together. Why not? We're going to read this together. But in this passage of scripture is a one-stop shop. It talks about a place. It talks about who's the boss. It talks about the results of living there, not visiting, not weekend visits, staying there, the benefits. And then it talks about the reality and the key to ascension. Who knows? I mean, we will drill down and we will meet the Lord in the air. Who knows? That's just not a spirit of ascension available to us at any given time. God dwells in the praises of his people. Okay, so let's put this one up. Let's just start. We're going to read together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is a one-stop shop. And rather than just read that and put that on the back of your dunny door like footprints in the sand, we actually have to lay a hold of and extract every truth. It actually says that true deliverance comes from dwelling in another dimension. Physically, you are here, okay? Spiritually, you're there. You could quite proudly say, someone sees you, you're walking in the anointing, you're touching the realm of the spirit, God's prospering you in spite of financial hardship, no plagues coming near your place. People go, how are you doing it? What's your situation? You go, I am bipolar. Because physically I'm here, but I am seated in heavenly places. Here's the key. It is about dwelling and abiding. This is the most important thing to lay a hold of. You don't give it a go. This is the place where there's absolute safety. Now, I do believe that if you're in a church like this or others, because of alignment and association, the Bible's very, very clear that you become who you hang out with. Really, really important. So alignment is important. Be part of a praying church, okay? I would say that's probably one of the most important things, especially praying leadership. However, there's something that no one can get away from, is that every single one of us will stand before God one day, not in a group, individually. And we need to live like that now and celebrate the group. The herd does not protect the individual. And I believe too many people have set their plumb line on their neighbor's behavior, and it's a false dawn. It's not an ancient boundary marker that God has laid out. So when we go, wow, corporate praise, powerful, you know, great are you, Lord, can feel it changes the atmosphere. Personally, it's like, I'm just saying, is that I think next year, because we got not much, you know, we don't have much on, we're a bit bored. Personally, I think people got to start to pray about going in next year to do things in the fringe in Warm Adelaide. I really think we have to do it. Also, make sure you got talent. All right, so that's important. That's it. There's, you know, if you got no talent, be really funny. You know, we call it singing in the shower, and it sounds like there's a cat stuck in someone's fan belt. But I think, no, because we used to do the psychic fair and interpret dreams, and when we kept doing that, that was mostly Adam and Adrian, and I was a third wheel and a few other people. Is that you change the atmosphere. You change the atmosphere. The last night of the thing in the city, they had three public mass seances. And so, you know, after a while, how much can a koala bear? I mean, what are we got to do something about it. And so I just think that, I think that that's an interesting challenge for us. But it's just the way it is, the atmosphere. And since then, there's been a lot of people have some weird supernatural things happen. You know, not just dreams and visions, but a lot of stuff, chaos. And so there are things going on in the spiritual atmosphere. People are going crazy. I've said this ad nauseum, and I'll say it again. If you want to know the collective IQ of society at the moment, just get in a car and observe traffic. Oh my goodness. If you're going to be slow, use your blinker. Baby, I was born to run, you know, like, so I can't handle it. You're looking to turn left, or because you don't know, all of a sudden they might have some sort of aneuristic spasm and just do a hard right, and like, seriously, never a truer word said in jest. Okay. So this is why supernatural places are real, and we have to talk about them. If we can give it language, you can bring it into focus. So here we see, and we won't put it back up, but when you cast your love upon the Lord, you go there. If you want instant manifestation, presence of the Lord, cast your love upon him. And this is the battle. This is the war. Did you know that faith powers up, love powers up faith, energio. You want powerful faith, make sure that you have the ability to receive love from the Lord. So then what we do is we start to set our affection. It says at the end of that psalm, because he has set his love upon me. Love's the only thing that's not going to pass away. Faith will pass away. You need faith now. We need faith now. The just shall live by faith. But it's passing away. Love will never pass away. So at the end of that, you've got he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then you've got all the benefits. Complete protection. Complete protection. We hear so many stories of people being crazily delivered. I know them left, right, and center, from southern Philippines all the way through to Europe, all the way to South America, Asia. Crazy. Australia. Crazy deliverance. But at the bottom it says, because he has set his love upon me, I will set him on high. Friends, that is the goal, is to set our affection upon him. And we will start off by, it'll be within the limited paradigm of our feelings, but at least start somewhere. Even if you praising God is transactional, you're praising God, but a little voice is saying, yes, but you're not healed yet, or you need breakthrough. Start to set your love upon him. He will set you on high. This is the only place of deliverance. It's dimensional, where physically you're still here, but you're with the Lord because you're already seated in heavenly places. Now, I'm going to really share a quick synopsis of a dream I had last night, and it's this. The dream felt like I was on my day off, okay? And so it was a very rare dream. Anyway, so I was in a big car. It was an older car. It felt like a big old, oh gosh, it felt like a big sort of a Ford Fairlane Falcon-y type thing. Could have even been a Hay Charger, I don't know. But really big, it had a big bench seat across the front. Yes, I know now. All right, okay, so external processing much. So basically, I was on my day off and I wasn't dressed like I was, you know, dressed for success. I was dressed probably too comfortably, very, daggy. And I was driving around and I remember the day was getting on and I had to get home. It was getting later in the day. Now, what happened was I was in the foothills and I was looking towards the city, but it might've been a little bit southeast of the city. And I saw this giant tree. This giant tree was really old. Now, I've seen trees before. I knew they were ancient, ancient trees. This didn't feel ancient, ancient. It felt very old. I know that sounds like a semantic, but some trees feel very, very supernatural, mystical, weird. This one just felt like it was hundreds and hundreds of years old. Massive trunk, short branches, zero leaves, decent height. So it was. Those were the characteristics. Now, then what happened? I want you to imagine when you see a whale breach out of the water. So it comes out, it does this, it usually twists and goes splat on the water. It's like the tree did the same thing. I couldn't see anything external. Could see this tree come out, this ancient tree twist and go poof, and disintegrate. I'm like, what? And I'm in the spirit, so I could see it from a long way away in great detail, and I could feel the shock of it. And then what took place was I thought, the gift of nosiness got the better of me. So I just started to drive down, and then I'm going down near where I know it was, and it felt like a foothills where I wasn't overlooking it. I was on a slight incline, I could see towards the city. So this tree was obliterated. As I started to get towards it, I noticed there was a building full of Christians, right? And they were just walking around like this, so they weren't in distress or anything like that. But I remember it was almost the sight of what was taking place. And I'm walking through, and I remember in the dream, because I was sort of like, I probably had tracky dacks or something, like I can't remember, right? Gym shorts, whatever, I can't remember. I'm walking there, and I'm not making eye contact with anyone, but there's a lot of people I recognise from, being in the Lord for years and years and years. And I'm sort of like, I said, I'm going to go back to my car, right? And then the Lord said, have a look what's on the seat. And I had a look at it on the seat, and I saw faces and names and descriptions of people, some of God's generals who've been in the past, and I mean like 1940s, 1950s. We're not even talking 1990s, 2000s. And the Lord started showing me, he said, Todd, how things are developing, this supernatural intimacy and with God and power is the only pathway through into this future season. And just massive numbers, herd mentality, right? That is not a place of safety. I know people don't like hearing that, but rather than just sort of like, you know, lie to you, we've actually got to, here's the deal. I've got two amazing kids. Now they're paying attention. I've got two amazing kids and they're blessed to be our kids. They really are. There's pros and cons. But they're going to stand before the Lord, them and the Lord, not me, not their mum. And this is how we have to see things. You might have great mum and dad like me and Rachel, right? Awesome, the best. Triple portion. Anyway, no. But you're going to stand before God. You will stand before the Lord. And then just sort of like hiding behind, it's not real. And we're in a time in history is that we can get excited about cultivating the known, cultivating the secret place of the Most High. This is a clarion call. This is a prophetic exhortation. This is not a warning or a judgment, because if you choose to lay a hold of God, you are tickety-boo. You're fine. People start going, because people are trading on the bare minimum. It's not real. I looked at this thing. This thing came up on social media today, and you go, "Wow! Can you imagine? You know, like being a kid these days with the school, the education system is turning to caca. Unbelievable! Ideology, wokeness, shopping for gender. It's disgusting." And you go, "Oh gosh, the kids today." Well, I saw something where you go, can you imagine being born in 1900? You're a teenager. You go to the First World War. But then you survive the First World War. You go, whew, that was close. Then you go through the Great Depression. After the Great Depression, why don't we have another war? Whew, survive that one, come through that one. The Korean War, 5 million people died in the Korean War. Goodness me, I'm glad I survived that one. Then they have the Vietnam War. And so on, and so on, and so on. And so what we have is this. I believe we're in a time in history where God's saying, will you take the mountains? Will you take the mountains? But you cannot take the mountains from the flesh. You can only take the mountains if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. See, what happens is that we don't have to climb those other mountains. Our job is to make sure that we're planted in the mountain of the Lord. Who may ascend his holy hill? He has clean hands, pure heart, has not sworn deceitfully, lifted up his heart to an idol. And God's going to go deeper in the MO today, but that's our obsession. I can't fuss over what's happening in Europe. I can pray for it. I can't fuss over, you know, the flipping, it feels like we're in Clone Wars. The amount of rubbish taking place. So what we can do is we can go, I can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. This, friends, should be our obsession. We cultivate it before there's any possible manifest crises. Because if you wait for crises, you might be the man who built on the sand. And this is why now, thank goodness we get to meet. I remember there was a time that people couldn't meet over a chew. That's crazy. And so now we get to work out what it is to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Let me just say this. Dwell, abide. Do you know it's a big decision when you choose to move? You don't just go, we're just going to move. What's it going to look like? I don't know. We're just going to move. You plan it. You focus on it. You make it a priority. You do your research. If you don't move, you'll get stuck in the wrong place. You're called to dwell and abide in the secret place. In other words, you have to find it. We can preach on it, teach on it. There can be a great manifest presence of the Lord in this church, but we all have to find it. And it's so amazing is that you could have everything falling apart on this side and everything falling apart on that side. And it won't come near you. That's how real it is. I want to give you two examples of parallel dimensions interlocking. The first one is Elisha and the servant, and they were surrounded by Syrian raiders, Syrian army, chariots. They were so outnumbered, but in the spirit, because Elijah was in the secret place of the Most High, he just said, don't worry about it, Gehazi. Don't worry about it. And so in the natural, they were completely overwhelmed, but because he was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, he said, Lord, open his eyes. And his eyes were open. He saw chariots of fire. Those chariots didn't even have to try. See, this is the thing. It's not sort of like all of a sudden you got this sort of like Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth battle scene. Ching, 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 ching. When God turns up, darkness evaporates because the hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. The hills melt like wax. So it's not about defeating the enemy. It's about cultivating this dwelling and abiding in the secret place of the Most High. That's the key. And a second time is you got Paul and Silas. They saw revival and they got beaten and whipped and their backs are, you know, cut open and whatever. And they didn't even get a proper trial. And sounds like January 6th in America. But basically is they were pretty much put down in the dungeon of dungeons, open sores. And they praised the Lord. They praised the Lord. So in the realm of the spirit, you've probably got angels ascending and descending, right? And they're just like, they're so thrilled that they're you know, these apostles, right? They're awesome. They're awesome. They saw something they can't unsee. You know, every time they went through a hard time, they were praising God because they knew it was being credited to their account. They was, that's a bit not fair. This person over here had an armchair ride. Why am I getting a flogging? They understood heaven's economy. They've understood that if you get persecuted for the gospel's sake, the glory of God rests upon you. So they praise God and God brings an earthquake. Easy. But how many earthquakes do you know where just the chains break and the doors open? That's a special earthquake. All right? And they're sort of like, he didn't go, oh my gosh, we're free. They just sat there and they're watching the jailer about to kill himself. And they led the whole... See, this is the interaction between the natural and the spiritual. It's not always going to look exactly the same, but if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, it will look like deliverance. It will look like preservation. It will look like blessing. Can someone say amen? But we can go, oh, this is happening the same. It is happening and it's bad. Fact of life, okay? But rather than sitting there and stewing about it like this, is that we've got to lay a hold of what we can do. This is where God is leading us, and it's exciting. It's exciting how he's leading us. Now, I'm not going to show these scriptures. You know them. It says, this is a place, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is not a construct. The person who has the dreams, usually, not always. The person who, that superhero on the inside of you, he's there. He's in heavenly places. That legend, genius, dunamis-filled superhero freak on the inside of you called your spirit is in heavenly places in Christ. And then it says, Ephesians 2:6, he already raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. So when you're having dreams, and I saw this, and I saw this, and someone over here, someone over there, you know, you have these incredible dreams of overcoming. That's your spirit. So the Lord wants us to, through our conscious effort and worship and praise and meditation, synchronize and align our conscious minds and emotions with spiritual realities. It's not just like, well, I have these crazy dreams. You know, is that over the years, I started having really full-on dreams. So let's just say this is my natural world and these are my dreams are supernatural over here, right? And they're like, wow, they don't line up at all. Do you know over the years, they've become more like this. They start to overlap because I choose to praise the Lord. I choose to meditate on the Word of God. I choose to align my conscious mind, my focus, my priorities, my affection. My affection is like, I don't know what my affection's worth. What's it, 3 cents? $2.50? $8? And I give the Lord my $8. Here you go. Oh, lost focus. That only took 12 seconds. Oh, bored already. Don't take it personally. You know what I'm like. Hallelujah. Forgot the word. Don't like this song. What's on my phone? Hallelujah. You give him the 8 cents, $2.50, and he pulls out $1 trillion of pure oil, gold, and wine. And we act like we're doing him a favor. And that self-serving, self-consumed being can never be delivered. This is why we can be saved with our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we still need our souls converted. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Metamorpho. Through metanoia. So this is the right now, there's an exciting opportunity because the acceleration is in the air. Things are happening. Herd mentality is a false economy. This is why we need to inspire everybody. You don't have to come here on a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do it at home or come here. It's powerful here. But to just Jehovah Nike, just do it. Set your affection. This actually should be one of the, this should be our highest priority. Highest priority. I can't remember, has there ever been, has Australia ever had just pure Labor premiers? Ever? Christian, I thought, why are you looking at me? Okay. Have we ever had, has there ever been just Labor premiers? Probably in a war, no? Still got Tassie. Lord, we just pray for Tasmania. Hey, by the way, I'm not a, you know, we got both parties need crazy redeeming, all right? So I'm not, you know. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. So we get to build on the known. God's inviting us another drive in this season to build on the rock. So, okay, we were talking about the sea of glass. This next thing here, I personally believe there are parallel worlds. I believe the realm of the spirit is parallel worlds. I believe there's faith to faith, glory to glory. I believe that as there's one glory of this moon, one glory of the stars, one glory of the sun, so will it be in the resurrection. I believe in the realm of the spirit. See, this is what, now this is anecdotal. Who loves hearing stories of people die and come back from heaven? Who loves those? They're fascinating, aren't they? And you go, oh, how can I hack into that bad boy? No, you can't. It's always, you just don't. You can read books about the Bible, will inspire you, but they'll never build your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But basically it's this, people stand before the Lord, they give an account for their life. There's a few giant KPIs. How much have you learned to grow in love? How much wisdom do you carry? Those who are wise shall shine. Those who lead many to righteousness like the soul, many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There are KPIs at the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. We will all stand there. But then after a while, you tend to find yourself in a dimension heaven where you're most comfortable and joyous. So you go, well, what do you mean? Well, we all have access to the throne. I believe anecdotally, yes. But what happens with people who didn't really live for God? What happens if you really didn't get on top of the discipline? What if you came to Christ a month before you died? Praise the Lord, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what happens, I think it was, oh my gosh, it could have been George Whitefield, could have been John Wesley. He said, there's no sanctification in the grave. What happens, your spiritual station, where you are in the spirit now, in your growth, your maturity, your knowledge, your love, your body gets changed, but you actually go through and you get assigned to a place where you can handle that glory. If you just go, oh, we're all going to be a level playing field. I'd like to think that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Because you know, one of the things is this, think of it like this, is you've got a three-year-old kid walking into a, let's just say they walk through those doors, right? And they're looking, whoa, a lot of people here, right? A bit overwhelmed and sort of like probably too much detail. Then someone who's a prophet, probably been in the Lord for 20 years, comes through and they'll go, wow, room so it's got so many people and it's so big, high ceilings, not many bright colors amongst the clothing. This, we are not, definitely not in India because it's not boys on this side, girls on the other. All these different things, the fans on slightly, da-da-da-da-da, like this. They can take in so much more because they've developed their faculties. And it's the same as in the realm of the spirit. Some people are just not developed. They can't take in much. So what we need to do is we need to cultivate being in the realm of the Spirit. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then we start to cultivate that. We can take in more. So one of the things is, and I'm just saying this, is whatever attributes I have gifts and callings on my life. However, most growth comes through stretching and pain, not torment. It's called discipline. And then what happens are things that you can see people, you just don't get freaked out like you used to as a kid in the Lord. So this is why we have to do this now, because God, I tell you, the grace available to us, I'm blown away. So this is what happens in this parallel dimension of the Spirit. Remember, the sons of God, all of creation is waiting for the sons of God to work out that they're the sons of God so they can actually set creation free. It actually says that in Romans 8, it's very clear. But this next passage of scripture, short passage of scripture in Isaiah 55, is the result of changing our thoughts and our ways and lining them up with heaven. Can we put it up, please? Isaiah 55. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That's real. That's not just hyperbole. That's not just Hebraic idiom. That's the realm of the Spirit. People who've gone to heaven have said everything's alive. People said that as you walk past, flowers actually look at you like this. Grass is singing, worshiping hills. So when you abide in the secret place of the Most High, or the shadow of the Almighty, you start to have access to this sort of stuff. And I'll tell you what, this is not something you fit in between golf. And bingo. I'm trying to just cater for everyone. It's being synced up to those heavenly realities. And so we have to align our life. It's not just quantum. It's not just, but we're talking parallel dimensions in the Spirit. And so everything's in a place. If we don't find the secret place of the Most High and the shadow of the Almighty, we get stuck in the wrong place. I want to give an example of someone stuck in a spiritual place. This is why the Word of God's so awesome. Obeying God's so awesome. The realm of the Spirit, you can't fake anything in the Spirit. Demons see everything. Angels see everything. God knows everything. You fake something. You could be going, I really want breakthrough. That's not what the Bible says. It says, set your love upon Him. I want this. I've missed out. I feel jealous. I'm coveting it. I really, really want it. You know, motivational speaking or whatever, it's not going to cut it. Cutting it is setting your love upon Him. Set your affection on things above. Here's a place where someone really tried to find a place in the Spirit, but their heart was so black they couldn't find it. This is a controversial scripture, but it's in the Word of God. And it says that we need to fear the Lord and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's have a look at Hebrews 12. For you know that afterwards Esau, who sold his inheritance and birthright, that afterwards when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he had found no topography, topos, no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Esau didn't care about God. He was upset he got ripped off. See, this is the point I want to make, is that rather than go, it's great to have a desire for breakthrough, but the Bible teaches to set our affection, because He set His love upon me, set your affection on things above, not things of the earth. Phoneo, I can't remember the Greek word per se, it means your mind and your emotions. So you just go, I just want breakthrough. And the Lord say, no. It all happens through love. Give God your $8. Give Him your $2.50. He will pour an ocean of glory, of agape, on your philios. You can't manufacture agape. You can only manufacture that your manifest feels and intertwine them by faith with the Word of God and offer it up as a sacrifice. Then what He does, His perfect starts to overshadow your imperfect sacrifice. And then as that reciprocal reality starts to develop, He starts praising Himself through you. Because you can just want stuff and that's just not enough. You get a spiritual heart attack. So we're landing the plane. You guys okay? Shabba. Okay. The BA. All right. Gotta be careful. I said something the other day. About Port Wakefield. And the other one, Jesus. And it's like mercy. And someone goes, that was a good word, but I don't like the way he blasphemes. So I don't. All right, just letting you know, okay? Never have, never will. All right. But I will tell you the last time I blasphemed. Said the Lord's name in vain. Legit. I'd been saved for 6 months and I had that radical conversion. Maybe 6 months, 6 to 12 months. I was playing division tennis. I was division one, number one. And I went for this shot and I lost my footing and I took skin off of one of my knees. And I said the Lord's name in vain. And I went, I think it's time to give up tennis. So I did, I quit. I finished out the season. So if I say that, my wife will correct me from now on. Because you say it sometimes, but it's like mercy, you know? So just saying. Now, you didn't need to know any of that. Okay, boys and girls, that's known as a catharsis. Okay, so anyway, all right. I'm gonna sleep better than the 8 hours I've been getting. All right, so Matthew 21, this is really important. And this is where we're going, Matthew 21, please. Then the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief of priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying out in the temple, these are the kids, the religious people who built their equity outside of Jesus. They'd already been established before Jesus arrived. But this is the kids, right? And the children cried out in the temple saying, Hosanna, the son of David. And the leaders were indignant. They were upset. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? They're saying you're the son of David. They're saying you're the Messiah, right? And Jesus said to them, have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Friends, this is the pathway God is bringing us on. What is perfecting praise? Perfecting praise is being so obsessed with the goal and object of our adoration, we're not even aware of what we're doing. That's how you walk on water. That's how you raise someone from the dead. You are more aware of the desire of all nations, the altogether lovely one, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is that you get so tractor beamed and there's such from the heart, is that praise starts to get perfected. This is not just a pathway, it's a station. Because going forward, if we allow God to perfect praise in us, nothing will be off the table. Nothing will be off the table. Why? Because praise enters the gates of heaven, enters the courts. If you whinge, complain, or, you know, this is something that's I never used to think this, but I think it now. With what's happening in the world, it's so hectic. I now believe, let's just say with education with kids, kids are getting groomed. I believe now, this is my, and I believe now silence is compliance. And too much of the church is silent. That's compliance. And you know what? In the spirit, silence is compliance to darkness. Can someone say amen to that? Because we're the ones seated in heavenly places. So when we're silent, when we don't make praise a priority, we are being compliant to darkness. This is why they insisted, the Jerusalem Council, they didn't say that much. It was a reductionist manifesto. They didn't want to interfere with the move of the Spirit within the administration of the gospel. But they just said a handful of things. And one of the main things was this, out of the book of Amos, David's fallen tent must be rebuilt. Friends, there is no global revival, there's no billion soul harvest, there's no taking any mountains until David's fallen tent is rebuilt. And when we do that, that's the work. The work isn't overcoming darkness. The darkness, there's not even close fight between the Lord and the fallen one. It's not even close. There's no fighting. It says so clearly in 2 Chronicles 20, it says, if you praise God, if you believe the prophets and you praise the Lord, the battle isn't yours, the battle's the Lord's. So we've got to get our head around what our job is. If you want God to fight your battles, get into praise. Praise Him, you moon, you stars, you earth, you plants, you trees. Praise Him, you birds of the air, fish of the sea, you beasts of the field. Praise Him. You multiverse, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then it says he dwells in the praises of his people. This whole warfare thing is rubbish outside of praise. Everyone's binding and loosing and, you know, and furrowed brow, and they age 5 years and 5 minutes and they get city miles on the odometer. And so, how do you want to become an intercessor? No, thank you. And yet it says they looked to him and their faces were radiant. That's the key. This is why we're so pedantic on this. And you got, I personally, I think that there can be occasionally, very occasionally, got to really narrow that, but I think there can be healthy competition. Who ascends first? Seriously. People having encounters. But someone, there's got to be a case where when someone you know that's close to you has a crazy encounter, there's got to be a combination of celebration for them, mild jealousy. Mild. No, you didn't hear, I said wild. Wild jealousy. Mild. So, this is what the Lord wants. See, God is love. It's sort of like, you know, how think, okay, so you've got a yoke, right? So it's like a wooden metal thing on the back of an ox so we can pull a plow. And in the spirit, people have yokes of iron. They have yokes on their back, they're heaviness like this. Did you know that God's so powerful that just his presence or the anointing destroys the yoke? You don't even, it's not even warfare. I'm going to take the one and slap the yoke off. And, ow, I hurt my hand, it's sharp. And this and that. No. It's that the hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. So our job is to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide. So when you move, make sure you put energy, focus, and priority. You don't just move. We actually start to build on the right side of the Jordan. The last thing I'll say, let's go Matthew 6:33. This is how you perfect praise. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, Jesus, when he was quoting that, he said, out of the mouth of nursing infants, you've ordained strength. You want strength? Perfect praise, perfect praise, perfect praise, perfect praise, perfect praise. And let him perfect it in you. This is the challenge of our times, is the tabernacle of David. Now, if you think I'm nagging you, you are right on. You are. Because what happens if you start doing that, I know for the best seasons of my life is I actually put this as the highest priority. God starts answering prayers you haven't prayed. Because everything's from a place, the secret place of the Most High. There's nothing down here. This is a dumpster fire. I'll get a bit fancy now. Get a little bit fancy. Is you hang out there more and you've got rivers of living water, trees of life, river of life, mountains, Zion. You're so there, you start to superimpose it over here and it looks like this. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know there's a scripture in Isaiah? I only just sort of like it just jumped out at me a couple of days ago. It says in Isaiah 25, you'll go up to Zion, you'll have a great time, you'll go up to the mountain of the Lord, and then you will tear the veil that has covered the whole earth. You'll tear the veil that's over all the peoples. And this, God wants us to be obsessed with the secret place of the Most High. It is Zion, it is heavenly dimensions, but it ain't coming outside of being perfected in praise. Can someone say amen? You can do this. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can do this. And maybe even me. Holy. Can we have the worship pads on? Can we get our communion, please? Holy. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, thank you. Lord, you're good. Holy Ghost. You go, how do you know when to stop preaching? The spirit of Uber Eats comes through the room. I'm aware of these things. Pretend I'm not though. All right. Holy Ghost. You know, yeah. God, He's in a really, really good mood. Especially with you. No, legit. You give him that $2.50. It's better than nothing. Serious. You know, you're sort of syncing up with the melody. Oh, the lyrics aren't bad. Oh, goosebumps, shabba. You give him $2.50 and you watch that heavenly glory and hug start to overshadow you. I've been to some of the most dangerous places in the world. The minute you're afraid, get out. But I was never afraid. I was aware of the presence of the Lord. You're aware of the presence of the Lord, you're fine. You're fine. The first time I knew my life was in danger where I was ministering, they just killed a whole heap of army personnel in this jungle where I went to. And the word of the Lord came to me. It didn't jump out of the Bible. I think I'd read it once and it got quickened to me. Now I'd be free-flowing thought. It says, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Did you know that you and God are a majority? But you have to build in Him. You have to build. And that allow Him to perfect praise. I told you, I think the same person, Bill Hilbig, he was cutting wood and he cut his finger off. And he goes, praise the Lord. That's the first thing he said. I mean, I wish I would say that. And looked down and his finger was perfect. So in that synapse, that first reaction of praising God. Who's excited? Come on. But this is what we can trade on. This is what we can trade on. And there's going to be crazy, crazy things. Read the book of Acts. That's the intro to your life. Did people get supernaturally transported? Yes. Supernaturally delivered? Yes. Were they able to say yes to God, even if it meant going against the authorities? All the time. When pressure and shaking come, did they suck their thumb and beg for deliverance? No, they prayed for boldness. You know why? Because they knew they were functioning from a higher dimension. They were walking in ancient pathways that were transcendent to being earthbound and full of fear. And they wanted greater boldness. Because boldness makes a way. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Lord, we just thank You. This is the day that You've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We just thank You for Your exhortations, Your encouragements, and Your instructions. Thank You that You have already done great and marvelous things, great and mighty things that we are becoming more and more aware of. Lord, we just thank You. Bless this communion to our body in Jesus' name. Amen. If you allow God to perfect praise in you, nothing will be off the table. If you allow it. But it allows that inner world, that veil between the two realms to be sliced open. Actually, talks about the circumcision of the heart. That all that fear and that protection, like this, and you're like open before the Lord. That's what it talks about. And this is where God's leading us. But remember, I don't want to destroy anyone's sense of herd mentality, but I will destroy it. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. You and the Lord are a majority, and then you start to yoke to those people on the same page. It's called remnant. And that's not saying this church is it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that whoever is doing Psalm 91, man, you know, the closer I get to God, the more I laugh. I don't know why I laugh at things. People are like, well, you like your dad. Yeah, that's a part of it. My dad laughs reading the paper. He does. So, and I go, wow. But I tell you what, God right now is looking down from heaven. The Father's looking from heaven and looking at those who plot a vain thing because the Lord already won at Calvary in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen? Have a great day. See you this afternoon. See you Tuesday. Oh yes. No. Sit down. Forgot. I got to sit down. Sit. Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog. Oof. All right. Obviously, I watch Family Ties. Okay, sorry. Daryl, because I've mucked it up, you're going to do it. I've got it written down, but you know what? This the cloud of God was toast. I couldn't read. All right.
It's fine. We'll just get on with it then. And so, I'd like to invite Kate Gardner, Phil Jericho, Joshua Waskett, and Megan, I'm sorry, I'm trying to find people, and Megan Wentz as well to come up. Guys, we are aware that people need help. And these guys are here to help. We've been working for a number of years with pastors and pastoral care teams and home groups, and we as an eldership really felt that these guys could help pastorally support people. Gosh, do you want to? Okay, let's go on this side. Help pastorally support people in this next season. So we have established a pastoral care team. Now, do you want to go in the middle? Do you want to just go further? Yeah, just go in the middle rather than one side. It's a bit weird. So good. Just so, because they're available for everybody. Now, what does that look like? We're just working that out. But these people are safe people. Everyone say safe people. It means that you can connect with them within reason and process heart stuff, process what's going on, be pastored. How many people love to be pastored? Okay, four of you. You guys are going to be fine. There's only one each. It's going to go really, really well. No, but in all seriousness, it's really important that we wanted today to appoint kind of a pastoral care team, a shepherding team, so you guys can avail yourselves of any kind of pastoral care that you might need moving forward. You know, as life happens, obviously the point of call is a home group. If you're in a home group, your home group leader is the pastoral person, the shepherding person over your world. So please do talk to them first. But otherwise, if you are just mulling around, you're hanging out and you're like, oh, I really need to get something off my chest. Well, these guys are available and will be available to pastor and connect and care for people. So how exciting is that? Oh, so good. And they are great people. They only have a few issues. So we pick the people. I'm just kidding. It's good. How good was that word? That was a great word from Todd just there. Yeah, so good. Okay, so what we're going to do, can I just get the elders to come? We're just going to put our hands on them. And you guys can stretch your hands towards them. We'll just pray. We thank you. Whew, there we go. Wow, it really is an appointment. Wow, I just felt that in the spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the good shepherd and that you love your people. And so, Father, we thank you that there is something of the division of labor that's talked specifically through the Bible. And we thank you, God, that you've appointed these guys in this season to shepherd your people. And so, Father, we acknowledge it. We thank you, God, for the mantling. We thank you for the enlarged capacity. We thank you for the grace, the empowerment of heaven to help lead your people in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you that pastoral care is very close to your heart. It's very close to your heart. So, Father, we thank you that there would be a realm of the Spirit that would empower these guys as they are mantled for this season to help guide, lead, and love on your people. That's really strong. In Jesus' name.
Lord, just thank you, just pray over Kate right now. We just thank you, Lord, you've called her to engage with all four living creatures. We just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, all four. We thank you for a spirit of wisdom to flow in the right way at the right time. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. She's carrying that grace that manifests on the sea of glass. We just thank you right now. We thank you especially for eagle's wings and eagle vision. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you that even as eagles prey on vermin, prey on foxes, prey on all sorts of things trying to infiltrate. We just thank you for that ability to see things a long way off. We just speak that over her in the name of the blood of Jesus. We just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that Phil is an ox. We thank you, Lord. I thank you that he's a man's man and he is. I thank you, Lord God, that ability, whatever is put in front of him, he can absolutely power through those objects. We just thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Holy Ghost. We thank you, Holy Ghost.
So good. We thank you. Is it just Joshua? No, it's just Father, we thank you right now for Joshua. We thank you, God, for his heart, for people in his heart for freedom. And there's no coincidence that you prayed at that freedom rally, because there's something so strong in your world that shepherds people or loves people into new places of liberty and new places of freedom. And so we just acknowledge that right now. We acknowledge that you are a freedom fighter, that you're a fighter for the people. But within that paradigm, you're also a lover of the people. So lover of God, lover of people, but a freedom fighter and bringing them into the liberty that Jesus died for them to have. And so we acknowledge that right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you too for the pastoral shepherding heart on Megan right now, that she's a prophetic shepherd. Father, we thank you for the gift of discernment that she carries, that she'd be able to rightly divide what's happening in order to guide people along paths of righteousness in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for new levels of foresight and insight right now for every person that she meets with in the name of Jesus. As she lays hands on people, as she connects with people, that she would be given literally foresight and insight into people's world in order that she would be able to prophetically shepherd them from one state, of being into the next in Jesus' name. And so Father, we bless that and we honor that. We thank you for the healing gift too, that she would be able to, as she's even, it says an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers them up. And it says the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so Father, we thank you that she carries the tongue of the wise that will bring healing. In fact, all of you guys do. But Father, we bless that over Megan today in Jesus' name. How many people can feel the presence of God in the room? It really is. It really, really is awesome. It really is so close to the heart of the Father. So, so good. So good. Well, presenting your pastoral care team. So good. As well as the other staff and elders and everyone else. So, not just these guys. Well, bless you guys. We hope you enjoyed the service today. Wasn't it fun? Can we thank Todd for a great word? That was a really, really awesome word, Todd. Really was. I know that a number of you guys are going to be jet-setting up to Moonta. We look forward to seeing you at 3 p.m. this afternoon here. For those of you that are staying, we're going to be hearing from one of our favorites, Christina Theodosiadis, today. We're very excited about that, so it's going to be awesome. So we look forward to seeing you at the 3 p.m. And for those of you driving up to Moonta, safe travels. Bless you.